From the Financial Times in New York, I'm Sujeet Indap, and this is FT News. Another week in the troubled life of Valeant Pharmaceuticals, the controversial drug maker. With me to discuss the latest revelations is David Crowe, the U.S. pharma correspondent. Hi, David.
Thanks for having me.
So this could be a weekly segment, the latest in bad news for Valeant. So what was the big revelation that came as a surprise this morning?
Well, take your pick, really. Having just reinstated the chief executive, Mike Pearson, after a two-month period of sick leave, they said they were dispensing with his services this morning and searching for a successor. And as if that weren't enough, they also laid the blame for the misstatement of their results and improper accounting firmly at the feet of the former chief financial officer, Howard Schiller. So there were two bombshells, if you like, today.
And so these two are joined at the hip, if you will. Valeant has had this very specific and aggressive strategy for the last 5 or 6 or 7 years, and these are the two principal authors. So what have they done over the last 5 to 7 years? What was their strategy or their MO?
Well, as you say, they were joined at the hip. They were very close. Howard Schiller joined about a year after Mike Pearson took over the company, and Mike Pearson found the deals and Howard Schiller found the money, and that was how it worked for years, and each deal was bigger than the last, and they amassed a huge amount of debt to buy increasingly larger companies, and that was the modus operandi, and for years it was lauded as a fantastic strategy by investors who bought into the stock in huge numbers.
Right. So it went from like $10 to $250. And both of these guys have blue chip backgrounds, right? Mike Pearson was a longtime McKinsey consultant. Howard Schiller was a very senior banker at Goldman for many years. And so it's a black eye, I guess, a little bit for these institutions. They've got Bill Ackman as well, who's a first-rate investor. There's a lot of people with good resumes who are embarrassed here.
Yes. And given that's the case, I think the big problem now is trying to find someone else with a good resume who's willing to risk it all by trying to clean up Valeant.
So where do they go from here other than the CEO search? There's an accounting issue. There's a 10-K that has to be filed. There's potential challenges with their creditors. What are the next things we should be looking out for here?
Okay, so I suppose the most pressing concern is their creditors that have $30 billion of debt. What happens now is they have to file a 10-K by April 29. That's their annual report. Or they they're technically breach of covenant and their debt holders can call a default. But there's an expectation that they will get a waiver anyway. And as we talk to the bondholders, they say they're more likely to grant a waiver than not. So it's a bit of an artificial deadline, but they've set themselves it, and it will be seen as a big litmus test if they can hit this April 29 deadline or not. If they don't, that's a big problem. They also need to try and find some leadership. They don't have a chief executive officer. They don't have anybody really running the company, and it's in a terrible way. So they need to try and convince someone to come in and to take on the challenge.
Right. And so Mike Pearson announced his resignation today. Oddly enough, Howard Schiller, the CFO or former CFO who's now on the board, he is not actually taking any kind of responsibility for the financial misdeeds, if you will. What was his reaction today to the news?
Well, he is refusing to resign from the board, which I suppose is no big surprise. He probably doesn't like the idea of these briefings going on where he is discussed and so on. He wants to be party to those conversations. So he's not resigning the board as of yet. And he says it's complete rubbish that he didn't provide improper numbers to the auditor or to the audit and risk committee inside the company. And he is not going quietly, basically. If they think he's going to be a fall guy, then they need to think again.
So their annual meeting is coming up. He most likely, well, he's not going to be nominated by the company. They haven't made those nominations yet, but obviously they want him to go away. So it's hard to see him actually winning election to the board for the next term, but he is not going to, like you said, publicly be the fall guy. He's going to stand up for himself.
It's less about, I think, him desperately wanting to continue to be a director or Valeant, and more about him not wanting to do anything today that gives the sense that he's admitting some responsibility.
And last thing I'm going to ask you about is, in the press release, there was a very interesting statement in addition to the dry stuff about the accounting and the numbers and the revisions. They said something about how the focus on performance targets and this culture of achievement and reaching these aggressive goals may have contributed to some of the misdeeds, if you will. What was interesting about that to you?
Well, I found it really interesting because ValueAct is one of the big investors in Valeant.
Highly respected firm, yes.
Highly respected, run by Jeff Ubben, and he has two representatives on the board. And they used to go around and boast about this compensation plan. You know, this was the best compensation plan in the business. It tied the rewards very closely to performance. Mike Pearson didn't draw a salary. He only got paid in performance-related pay. And woe and behold, when you have the keys to the car and you get paid for how fast you drive it, you start putting your foot on the accelerator, even if you're going over the limit. I could extend the metaphor even more if you like, but it seems to be no surprise that it's not worked out as well as they'd hoped.
Well, if you are an agreed Valiant shareholder, you can take some solace in the fact that Mike Pearson owns a lot of Valiant stock and he is doing very poorly as well. In fact, last year there was a famous story about him having to actually borrow against it for various expenses, and that loan was called from Goldman Sachs. So I guess a lot of people are hurting from Valiant right now. David Crowe, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.